This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Good morning and welcome to the virtual faculty lounge and infirmary at Stratford University. This is the best of Tech Talk. The doc is in India on business and I am here filling in for him. This is Jim Russ with the best of Tech Talk this Saturday morning on Federal News Radio. And we'll start as we usually do with a dive into the mailbag here on the best of Tech Talk.
But now it is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, the mailbox was filled to the brim this week.
Oh, boy.
Okay, we have a letter from an email from JP. Dear Doc and Jim, I've been listening for a few months now, and I really enjoy your show. I'm learning a lot and get a kick out of Jim's low-tech ways of doing things.
You mean like having animals do math computations for him by digging at the dirt?
Okay, but he says cheap is sometimes better, so he acknowledges that. So maybe you do have the best solution,
Jim. I could
be
onto something.
Yeah, you could be. Okay, I have an issue with one of my home projects. My old laptop will not connect to the Internet. And the help support says that I might need it might be an IP address problem. My new laptop connects to the DSL through the Ethernet cable just fine, but my old one will not. The DSL activity light has no activity. I do not have the original Windows XP disks, so I downloaded Linux Ubuntu and VMware, and I installed Linux on top of the VMware so I could leave my Windows operating system in place. I'm using a Linux Firefox browser, but I could also not connect to the Internet with my Linux machine. What should I do? What should I check out? My next project will be to network my old laptop to an old desktop PC that I can use for network storage. But I'm not exactly sure how easy that will be. Could you go over that on the show, too? Thank you very much, JP.
Thank you, JP.
Well, JP, let's talk. You actually have three questions here.
Yes.
First of all, how to deal with Ubuntu. Okay, now, Ubuntu, of course, is the is one of the most user-friendly Linux distributions out there. It was developed by the guy who comes out of South Africa. It's the guy who developed, actually, who started Thought. Digital security system company, and he then has gone into Ubuntu, and it's a very fine distribution. Now, the thing with Ubuntu, though, is they only have on the distribution CD open source device drivers. So, if, for instance, the device driver for your Ethernet card or for your wireless card is only available as a proprietary format, it's not on there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I installed Ubuntu, for instance, on my old laptop, I had an old laptop, I had the same thing too, my Ethernet connection worked right away, no problem. But, my device driver for the wireless did not work. So I had to go on through my Ethernet connection, I had to download a proprietary device driver because I'm not the purist when it comes to open source. I will accept a proprietary device driver. I don't have to have all open source. So I downloaded the wireless driver, and bingo, I was on. So I suspect that since you're using DSL, you're connecting through an Ethernet connection, probably your Ethernet device driver is not on the card. So what you probably need to do is look at what specific Ethernet card you have there. Get the name, and then go to your other machine and go and search around for an open source device driver for that particular Ethernet card. Download it from your other computer and bring it back with a little thumb drive and then copy it onto your machine. That would be the way to do it. This is probably the downside of all the open source software. All the drivers just simply aren't there, whereas if you have a Windows operating system, they've got all the proprietary device drivers there. They don't mind. And so it actually loads much more conveniently. But if you solve that problem, you should be on without a hitch. Now, as for your distribution disk for Windows XP, let's go back to your XP problem. Many times the manufacturers actually load an image of the CD disc onto the hard drive. So you, in fact, may have the entire CD set on your hard drive. When we got these huge hard drives that were coming with the machines, they just copied the whole CD right on the hard drive. You know, it was actually didn't cost them anything. They just they just made it as part of the disk image, and then they didn't have to spend that extra dollar and a half to give you the CD because they want to maximize the bottom line there. They want to save that dollar and a half that they get on the CD, the CD packaging. Now, it should be, the CD image should be in a folder, and typically it's named I386. I386, because it's the old 386, they do that because of the old 386 instruction set for the Intel thing. And now this, there may be more than one I386 folder there, but you want the one that's got around 7,000 files, because that would be the CD image. Now, actually, there's going to be also a couple of other programs in there. Just you don't want to execute these programs, but there's also a WinNT.exe program and a WinNT32.exe. You could search for those. That would be kind of an indicator that you found the right subdirectory. Now, once you've found the right subdirectory, when you want to go in and, say, repair your XP operating system, and it says insert the CD, you simply could say, okay, it says CD's not there, and you could say browse, and then you could browse, and you could locate this subdirectory and point it at the subdirectory, and that's just like putting the CD in. So, in fact, you may be able to fix your Windows XP operating system. Now, I do have one question. It said that an IP address is not available. You have to set up your device driver for DHCP, that's Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, so it requests an IP address from your router, from your DHCP server. And so it has to request an IP address, and so DHCP should be configured on your router. Now, I suspect that you have that set up because your other machine works. If you're setting up with a wireless, I couldn't tell whether you're connected via wireless or Ethernet. If you're connected via wireless, maybe your router has MAC address filtering and it's not talking to your laptop. So I would just double check that. So make certain that your network is configured properly, and that actually may be why your Ethernet system isn't working, because if your computer does not receive an IP address from the router, it just makes up its own local IP address, which isn't adequate, and that could be your problem. So I don't have quite enough information to give you the total solution, but I could point you in a few good directions.
Sounds good.
Okay, now let's talk. We have an email from Lauren.
Yes.
Lauren, sometimes Lauren is geek chick, but she's Lauren this time.
She's Lauren today.
That's right. Dear Dr. Schertz, thanks for enabling me to get smarter about technology while I exercise Saturday morning.
This is called multitasking.
That's right. You are a mental exercise while I'm on the treadmill.
Oh, he's a mental exercise, all right.
That's quite a compliment. Thank you, Lauren. Well, I've been a longtime subscriber to Vonage. If you can't use their name on the air, just say a voice over IP early provider.
I think we just did.
Okay. Are we allowed to use their voice on the air?
I don't see why
we're not either. Though I'm generally happy with Vonage, I don't like the fact, like picking up my phone and hearing, lines are temporarily busy. Please try your call later. Yeah, that's not very nice. And I've never known what the cost for this is, but it's not the same thing as the old-fashioned busy signal, I don't think. Since their prices keep creeping up, I've been looking around for another solution. Now, I participate in a PC listserv, and one of the early adopters recently mentioned this, nettalk.com, N-E-T-T-A-L-K.com. That would be two T's in the middle,
yes.
Nettalk.com. It's interesting. I've looked at their site. I've also looked at Magic Jack. And I wonder what your options are for voice over IP. I value your opinion. I'd like to hear what you've got to say. Thanks, Lauren. Well, let's talk about voice over IP. Let's have an aside to explain what's going on here.
Yes, sidebar time, please.
We'll have an aside, and then I'll go into some of the different options that you have for voice over IP. When you've got a conventional phone system, plain old telephone system, POTS, it's an analog system. It goes to the phone carrier. People didn't know is that once the phone carrier gets it, they basically convert it to a networked signal, and they run voice over IP on the backhaul, because you can use your fiber optic cable much more efficiently if you timeshare using packet switching. So they've been using voice over IP on the backhaul for a long time. The thing that's recent development is that people have been putting voice over IP servers right at the endpoint, right at their home, mm-hmm. and they go voice over IP, but instead of using the phone service with the landline monthly expense, they simply run the voice over IP signal through their internet connection, through their broadband connection. So you can have a phone connection at home without having a phone line.
Interesting.
And so that's the value of the voice over IP. Moreover, many of the systems allow you to take your phone number, your landline phone number, and transfer it over to your voice over IP system. So to the outside world, it looks like you still have a landline, but all the signals are coming in through your broadband connection.
See, this would go back to the beginning of the show, cheap is sometimes better.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be cheaper to do it that way?
It would be cheap. Now, but you have to have a broadband connection.
No.
You can't be totally cheap.
Okay, move along. You mean two tin cans and a string don't count?
No.
Okay.
So then we have various options for a voice over IP. Now, I'm going to talk about the three, sort of what I call the leaders in the three categories. Vonage is one leader. UMA is another leader.
We've talked about them. You like them, don't you?
And Skype is a third leader.
You love Skype.
And so Vonage was one of the first ones to get into the voice over IP space. They were one of the early movers. And so they were simply trying to compete with the phone system, and they ended up having a monthly charge that you've got month in and month out, month in and month out. You get the Vonage system box, and then you still pay your monthly fee of $25 a month or so. And it is cheaper than the phone company, but you're still paying $300 a year. Now, as things always happen, cheaper options become available. And so many of the people that, now there are options which are much cheaper than Vonage, and Vonage is not really meeting the marketplace out there. Because what happens is that if you want to make, say, outgoing phone calls to another landline, it's relatively inexpensive. If you want to call another landline in the U.S., typically you go through the internet to a point near the landline you want to talk to. Then it goes through a gateway, a phone gateway, and then it's converted to a POTS signal and goes to that landline. That gateway is anywhere from a penny and a half to 2.5 cents a minute. So you could call anywhere in the U.S. for about 2.5 cents a minute. In fact, you could call China landline for 2.5 cents a minute. Now not every most countries in the world are about 2.5 cents a minute. Some of the countries that have nationalized phone services, they try to jack up the price. Like India, it's around 12 cents a minute if you want to talk to a landline through voice over IP. Pakistan's 14 cents a minute. So a lot of the Asian countries are more expensive. But on average, it's about 2.5 cents a minute. Many people thought, well, what's the point of paying $25 a month when I could just make my voice over IP calls really cheaply? Why don't I just buy the box
that does the
conversion and then not pay a monthly charge? Voila. You have UMA.
Yep.
UMA came out. Now, UMA was the first mover in this space, and, MA was the first mover in this space, and it turns out that this NetTalk is the second mover in this space, by the way. So what UMA does, UMA is a box, and you just plug it into your broadband connection at home, and there's another connection on the UMA box that you plug your home phone system into. So it's got a phone jack just like the phone. So it's got a phone jack that looks like a POTS line.
Mm-hmm.
So you plug your home phone into it, and then you plug another plug into the broadband connection, and it's configured. And you make a phone call, and bingo, it just goes right on out there. The UMA converts your POT signal coming out of your phone system at home into a voice over IP packet switch signal, and it goes on out. Now, the beauty with UMA, you buy the box for $199, and that's it. Bingo. And then they pay that 2.5 cents a minute for U.S. calls. So you can call POTS lines anywhere in the U.S. zero.
How do they make any money on this?
Well, what they are hoping is that by offering that free service for all U.S. calls, that they will sell enough boxes at $199 that they can go. I don't think they can sustain that forever.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, you get an UMA box, and that's it, $199. You don't have a monthly phone bill. Now, then what you
cheaper
can...
Cheaper is sometimes better.
Then what you... But you need a broadband connection.
Oh, God.
Right. Now, then what you do, as soon as you get UMA, you take... Because remember, phone numbers are portable. You take and port your phone number over to UMA. So somebody calls your landline, UMA rings, and it rings your phone system.
Mm-hmm.
You call out. There's a caller ID that looks like you're calling from your landline. And so UMA has been very well received, easily to configure. Now, this NetTalk is a second option. That the NetTalk box is a much smaller box. It's $95. And I've looked at it. They're not scaling too well. A lot of people are not happy. They lose connections a lot of time. And so NetTalk looks like it will eventually be a very good product, but it's a new start. They're not scaling up as fast as they could. So I would avoid NetTalk for a while. And if you really want to get it, I would go with the UMA. Now, the third category is Skype. Now, this is actually a program that goes onto your computer. And you can actually make phone calls through your computer. You can also port a number to Skype, actually Skype will give you a number. You can actually get your own number through Skype if you want to Skype out with a phone number. But if to get a Skype number, it's about $70 a year. So if you want to get a Skype, if you want to get a number associated with your Skype account, you're going to have to get a business account and pay about $70 a year. I mean, that's, you know, it's not free like it is with UMA where you can just transfer in a number. Now, many people, though, like Skype because you can call other computers. You can call anywhere in the world for 2.5 cents a minute. And so if you would like to attach Skype to your home phone, you can actually do Skype without a computer. Mm-hmm. Now they have Skype Wi-Fi phones.
Interesting.
So you can actually get a box, which is like a small phone router. It plugs into your broadband connection, and then Wi-Fi phones, Skype phones, are connected to that. So you bring up one of your Skype phones, all of your Skype contacts are there. So if you want to have a Skype contact, you can call their computer, and if you call another Skype computer, computer-to-computer calls are free. But you're not using a computer, you're just using a phone.
Right.
And so many people are using the Wi-Fi Skype phone, but you still then have to pay that 2.5 cents a minute if you go to a landline or if you go to a landline in India, which I'm very familiar with these
days.
Yes,
you are.
For 14 cents a minute. Then the final thing that is possible, if you don't want to buy a Skype Wi-Fi phone, you can download the Skype client to your iPod, and you have a Wi-Fi connection. If you have Wi-Fi at home, you can make phone calls with your iPod or with your iPhone over Wi-Fi.
Now, you've done this, haven't you?
I have done this, yeah. And recently there was a big stink with the AT&T iPhone. They weren't allowing Skype calls with Wi-Fi. But after a little FCC saber-rattling, they decided to change the Skype client. And so now you can make Skype phone calls over Wi-Fi. But the iPod set up for Skype calls over Wi-Fi. And there are many other smartphones with a Wi-Fi connection. Like some of the BlackBerry phones have Wi-Fi connections. Except my Storm, that Verizon disabled the Wi-Fi. But many of the other ones have Wi-Fi. And so you could actually download the Skype client with Wi-Fi. So you have very, very many choices. Of all the ones that I've listed, and this is what I'm actually looking at very carefully right now, is UMA. I like UMA.
This is the Best of Tech Talk, Federal News Radio, Saturday morning in the nation's capital. You're listening to us on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We've got a lot more coming up, so stay with us here on the Best of Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tysons Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed. Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. The doc is away on business. I'm Jim Russ sitting in for him today. This next segment was kind of a no-brainer. It was announced this past week that Steve Jobs, Apple computer fame, was taking another leave of absence because of health issues. So here is a replay of the doc's bio, his profiles in IT, featuring Steve Jobs, here on the best of Tech Talk.
Profiles in IT.
And this morning we're talking about Stephen Paul Jobs. Steve Jobs was born February 24th, 1955, to an unmarried graduate student. 1 week after birth, Jobs was put up for adoption. He was adopted by Paul and Clara Jobs of Mountain View, Santa Clara County, California. They gave him the name Stephen Paul Jobs. He attended Cupertino Middle School and Homestead High School in Cupertino and frequented many after-school lectures at Hewlett-Packard in Palo Alto. He was soon hired by HP after high school, and he worked with a guy by the name of Steve Wozniak as a summer employee. During the 1960s, it was discovered that phone phreaking would work. Now, this is where you could use a high-pitched whistle, actually at 2600 hertz. It turned out that some of these whistles were put out in, like, Captain Crunch cereal
something.
No, not quite that. 2600 hertz. That's 2600 hertz. That was it seemed like that was like 1900 hertz.
Mm-hmm, yeah. A little low.
And so it turned out at that time the long-distance company used what they call in-band signaling in order to control the switches. And those are like beep, beep, like little beeps. Mm-hmm. And so if you'd have this whistle, you could beep, and then you could make free long-distance phone calls. They went to what they called an out-of-band system using Signaling System 7 later on, which was a digital control. But while they used in-band signaling, you could actually use whistles and make long-distance calls. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak decided to go into business building blue boxes that would allow people to make free long-distance calls, and that was their first business attempt.
Amazing.
In 72, Jobs graduated from high school, enrolled in Reed College in Portland, Oregon, and he dropped out after one semester.
Go figure.
Okay, in 1974, Jobs joined a club called the Homebrew Computer Club.
Okay, dropping out after one semester in the Homebrew Computer Club. These two things have anything
no,
to do with
is,
one
these
another.
These are homebrew computers, not not homebrew beer.
Oh, okay.
Or homebrew anything else.
He joined it with Steve Wozniak. Now, about that time, though, Jobs wanted to find himself.
Did he really?
And so he backpacked around India in search of philosophical enlightenment. He came back with his head shaved and wearing traditional Indian clothing.
I bet Mom and Dad were...
What is it with you boomers in the navel-gazing?
When he was 21 years old, Jobs saw a computer that Wozniak had just put together as part of the Homebrew Computer Club, and convinced Wozniak to assist him in starting a company to market the computer. Now, I wonder whether his head was still shaved when he started the Apple computer.
Wouldn't be shocked.
Apple computer was founded as a partnership in April 1st, 1976. You know, why would they pick April Fool's Day to start a company?
Well, look at what Google does on April Fool's Day.
That's
why
true.
Not, you know?
Okay, the first personal computer that Jobs and Wozniak introduced was the Apple One.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember this. It sold for $666.66.
Groovy,
six,
man.
666666.
Six, 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 six.
Wozniak liked repeating digits.
Mm.
Its successor, Apple II, was introduced the following year. Now, how much was that Apple I computer?
$666.66,
that's
is that correct?
Right.
That's before
right.
tax, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple IPO, initial public offering, was floated on December 1980. In 1983, Jobs hired John Sculley, who was a Pepsi-Cola executive, to serve as Apple's CEO and help take the company to new levels. In 84, Jobs introduced the Macintosh that was based on technology developed at the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center. In 1984, Sculley fired Jobs, and Jobs sold all of his shares of Apple except one share. Took all of his money and started another company called Next Computer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Next Computer was described as an interpersonal computer because it had networking integral to the computer itself. It also had quite an advanced operating system based on a version of Unix. In addition to that, Tim Berners-Lee developed the software for the first browser on the Next workstation for the World Wide Web while he was at CERN. In addition, Next computers were used in the development of a game which many of our listeners know and love called Doom, a first-person shooter. That's... In 1996, Apple bought Next for $402 million. And rehired Jobs.
How about that? Now, let me ask a question, and I hope you have the answer for this. How did they come up with the name Apple?
I don't know where they got that name.
You don't
name.
Know where it came from?
No, I don't
idea?
Know where they got that name.
No.
I'm just going to guess something to do with a seed, planting seeds. I don't know.
There, you know, and it's an app with a bite taken out of it. You know, mm-hmm. We've got somebody calling in from India.
Should we have him on the?
I think. Well, let me finish the Jobs thing, and then we'll have him cut. Since we were talking about India, we've got Dean Flaggart, who's the dean of the graduate school. He's in India now. We'll see whether he's shaved his head yet. We'll bring him on right after we talk about Stephen Jobs.
Okay.
Now, in 1997, when he went back to Apple after they bought Next Computer, he became Apple's interim CEO. Next Step, which was the operating system for the Next Computer, evolved into the Mac OS X, which is operating system 10. Then they had a huge boost in sales with the introduction of the iMac, where he really embraced the Internet. He followed that quickly with iPods and then iTunes, and, of course, we all know about the iPhone.
And that takes us to today.
Jobs works at Apple for an annual salary of $1 per year, and this has earned him a listing in the Guinness World Record as the lowest paid CEO. Now, he gets a lot of good stock options and offerings. Like one year, they gave him a $44 million corporate jet. Yeah. In 1986, Jobs bought the Graphics Computer Group, later renamed it Pixar,
mm-hmm.
from Lucasfilm's graphics division for $10 million. The first film produced was Toy Story, and that was released in 1995, and they released a whole series of other successful animated movies. In 2006, Disney purchased Pixar for an all-stock deal worth $7.4 billion. Jobs became Disney's largest single shareholder with approximately 7% of the Disney stock. So there you have it, Stephen Paul Jobs.
And I find it interesting that first Apple I computer was sold for $666.66.
That's right. And the question I have is whether he had his head shaved at the time they sold that first computer.
That's a lot of money. In $1976, that was a lot of money for a computer.
That's right.
Yep. This is the best of Tech Talk, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, and 103.5 FM HD2. Put the HD2 at the end of the 107.7 also, as well. Thanks, sure. You're listening to the best of, again, I hope you're paying attention to Profiles in IT, because we have your chance to win a fabulous prize in just a minute. No, not cash. Free food. That's right. Free lunch at the Escafe at Stratford University in Falls Church, or at Cafe Kareem in the campus at Woodbridge. So the number to call is 877-936-9333, 877-936-9333. Don't call quite yet. Call after the break. We'll be right back here on the Best of Tech Talk.
If
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, five of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Nor is it David Byrd, who's sitting across the console from me. It's Jim Ross sitting in for the doc, who is in India on business today. And we just finished talking about Steve Jobs, who recently announced that he is going on medical leave again from Apple. So we did his profile in IT once again so you could learn all about Steve Jobs. What was the first computer group he was involved in? If you remember the name of the first computer group that Steve Jobs was involved in, call me right now, 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Actually, the first voice you'll hear will be that of Andrew Mitchell, who will... He's the gatekeeper. You give him the answer, he gives you to me. Do that here right now on the Best of Tech Talk, and we'll be right back with a winner.
Now, you know, this week, some guy went back, and he was looking at some data that's 30 years old, where they were looking at life on the on Mars. Back in 1976, Viking landed on the Mars, touched down on the Red Planet, and they had some experiments where they're trying to detect biological activity in the soil. And they concluded that it was a dead end. There was no biological activity back in 1976. Well, this scientist from the University of Gießen in Germany, Joop Hoetkoper, said that...
You spell that for me? Never mind.
No, that's Hoetkoper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Said the spacecraft may, in fact, have found signs of some weird life. And he went back and looked at the data, and instead of life being based on sort of oxygen breathing, CO2 emitting life such as we're familiar with, this is life based on a combination of hydrogen peroxide and water.
Mm.
And that, of course, hydrogen peroxide would be very toxic to our form of life. But
unless you got a cut or something.
But this weird life would work. His analysis was he analyzed one of the experiments carried out at the Viking spacecraft and suggested that 0.1% of the Martian soil could be of biological origin. And this particular form of life, he calls them extremophiles, microbes whose cells are filled with a mixture of hydrogen peroxide and water, which provided them with a natural antifreeze, because, of course, the Martian climate is very harsh. It goes from temperatures rising nearly, that rise above freezing, and then they can fall to minus 150 degrees Celsius, which is quite a bit below freezing.
Yeah.
And so it needed to have a form of antifreeze. He believes their presence could account for the unexplained rise in oxygen and carbon dioxide when NASA's Viking landers incubated the Martian soil. Scientists hope to gather further evidence on whether or not there is life on Mars in the next generation robotic spacecraft, the Phoenix Mars Lander, which will reach the planet on May 2008 to probe the soil near the northern pole.
Okay, we are back here, and we've got a winner. Well, I'm not going to say that. I'd be premature if I said the guy's a winner. So we're going to go to line numero uno. This is Clay calling from Springfield, Virginia. Good morning. How are you, Clay?
Good morning. I'm doing great. What a great show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening to us on this cloudy, cold Saturday morning. Okay, so Steve Jobs, we just talked about him a few minutes ago, and he and Steve Wozniak joined this computing club, this computer club, the first one he ever joined. What was the name of it?
How about the Homebrew Computing Club?
That is correct, Clay. Thank you for calling and thank you for listening. And if you'll stand by, Andrew will take your information and you'll get two tickets to the Escoffier at the Stratford University, fine dining at the Stratford in Falls Church. It's good stuff. It's like a three-course meal. I hope you have a good time there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clay, for listening, and we hope you'll continue to listen to us and call us again sometime. All right. Thanks a lot. As I alluded to earlier...
Hi, folks. This is David Burke.
Don't stop, make it pop, DJ.
He's here. Yeah, I know. What mic are you on? You're on six? Well, you're talking into something.
Hello,
you're on something there.
Hello, yeah. There we go.
Ah, you're on four.
Very nicely done, sir.
Yeah. So yeah. We're talking about Steve Jobs and you being the Apple guy. You like Apple stuff.
I love Apple stuff. And you were asking me off the air what I thought was wrong with him. He's had a liver transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And those, here we are in 2011 and people are taking this for granted. Hey, it's a new liver. Blah, blah. That's a big, big deal when you go through something like that. I think
any kind of a transplant.
Any kind of transplant. So I'm only guessing. I don't know. I'm just assuming he's got a very... He's got a serious health issue, and I think it might have to do with his transplant. Who knows? I'm just, like I say, I'm guessing, but I don't think it's anything casual, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't be. Well, it's.
But when you're tied in with a company's progress and its future and their stock prices, you get sick and your stock goes down the tube. That's how important you are with a company.
Well, you heard what they're trading it last week. I think they're going to be okay, though.
I think they'll be
$300-some dollars a share?
Is that crazy?
Isn't that? It's amazing.
That's just nuts.
That is.
Too bad the doc's not here.
That's that little silence there. That's where he would have been talking.
Oh, that's where
so
he
I left
been
that
talking.
For him, but
well,
he's
that's
not
right.
Here.
Sounds like bees. Bzz, 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 bzz.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
I got you.
Anyway. Well, I'm glad you stopped in.
Well,
thanks,
I was expecting the doc to be here, but he's not here. It's the best of.
It's the best of. He'll be back next week. He's in India.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he's going to bring some carryout for you.
That'd be lovely.
So you better make sure you're back here next week for some tandoori chicken.
I want the chicken samosas. Thank you.
Very good. David Byrd, thanks. Good to see you. Happy New Year. We'll see you guys in just a moment here on the Best of Tech Talk. Stand by here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. Jim Russ sitting in for the doc. The doc is away in India on business. He is expected to return next week, but you know how air travel is these days, so we will keep our fingers crossed. Meanwhile, we are going to tell you a little bit about how you can find out more about this show and Stratford University. This Stratford University, of course, brings you Tech Talk. You can learn more about the college, the university, and all the opportunities open to you there by going to stratford.edu. You can learn about their campuses, now in Falls Church and Woodbridge, and shortly, if not already, in Richmond. And you can learn about the next semester coming up and how you can enroll. Learn more about this program by going to techtalkonline.com. From there, you can send the doc an email, which is really the best way if you have a technology question to get in touch with him, because he likes to take a look at your question and delve into it deeply and make sure he can answer it completely. So send us emails to techtalkonline.com. Just go to that page and you'll see exactly where in the upper right corner you can click the link to get to us. You can also look at outlines for every single show we've done on this here radio station, and you can hear those shows as well. In fact, those that date back before Tech Talk here on 1500 AM. And you can do that by listening to them online, or you can go to the Apple iTunes podcast. We'd like you to do that because that increases our iTunes rating. So we're talking about the doc in India. Dr. Jim Flaggart, one of his right-hand people at Stratford, had paid a visit to India some time ago, as we alluded to earlier in the show. And here's our conversation with Dr. Jim Flaggart.
The building, the construction that's going on, it's just amazing what's happening.
And we're about ready to connect directly to India again.
That's right.
Now, we have on the line here Dr. James Flaggart, Dean of the Graduate School. Are you there, Jim?
I am, Dr. Schertz. I'd say good morning, but it's 7 o'clock at night here.
7 o'clock at night.
At least they're not keeping you up.
So you are, it's interesting, India is 9.5 hours ahead of us. They're on one time zone, aren't they there?
That's correct. The whole nation has one time zone, and it's on the half hour, like you mentioned.
They sort of average where the time zone would be. It's just like China is basically all on one time zone. That's what they like to do in Asia. Well, what are you doing there in India, Jim?
Getting his head shaved, right?
Well, my plane just landed about an hour ago from Calcutta. They spell it with a K now instead of a C. And
interesting.
I'm in Mumbai right now, which is Bombay, mm-hmm. Which is the old Bombay. They've changed a lot of the names of their cities around here. Chennai used to be Madras, and et cetera.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know. I asked, and I think maybe just to remove maybe the British influence or something. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe when you come back, we'll change the name of Washington, D.C., just so you feel at home.
Well, that sounds good, yes. I've been gone for over a week now, and it's been a real adventure. I've traveled extensively around the nation, and I've been conducting seminars promoting Stratford University, and I've been trying to identify faculty who will come over and teach for us.
That's good, because we're set up with the J-1 visa, so we can have faculty members from China from India come over on a J-1 and teach.
That's correct.
So, actually, Jim's over there because we have so many students who came from India for our graduate programs in software engineering, information systems, international MBA, and so we thought he would go and talk to some of the potential students directly.
And it's been a wonderful visit. We have over 400 students from India.
Wow.
The interest is in the telecommunications, in the software engineering, and the MBA programs. It's just terrific over here.
So you are down? Are you down in the Hyderabad region, where sort of the Silicon Valley of India?
I was. I left Hyderabad a couple days ago and went to Kolkata, mm-hmm. and now I'm in Mumbai, which is on the west coast. Mumbai, it's a series of islands that they've kind of patched together to form a city.
Oh, I see. You know, we just had a profile on IT. Steve Jobs, when he was trying to find himself, went to India for a year or so, and he came back wearing robes with his head shaved. So the question is, Jim, are you going to come back with your head shaved wearing robes?
No, I won't do that. I'll probably
he went over there with his head shaved.
I'll come back with a large telephone bill because this is international rates we're paying.
Oh, well, look at the time.
So are you calling on a cell phone? How are you calling us, by the way?
No, actually, the infrastructure here is extremely weak when it comes to cell phone connectivity. Often, it'll say all lines, the network is busy. Even sometimes you can't even log on the internet because too many people are on. So they're working on it hard. I think they're doing a good job, and we're going to see a lot of big changes here. But it is difficult to use cell phones here.
So you know, it's interesting because in China, the infrastructure is really quite advanced. I'm surprised that India is not doesn't have the same infrastructure as China.
Well, I think all billion people are on the phone at the same time here.
that could be the problem. I think in China, maybe they got 1.3 billion, 1.4 billion, but only maybe 300 million of them are actually technology literate there in the Southwest. So maybe that, maybe all 1.3 billion are not on the phone in China.
Right, and I think that's what's happening here. The nation is doing great. Their economy is strong, and they're growing by leaps and bounds, and they're very interested in software engineering, information technology, and business-type programs.
Well, let me. You know, you're getting some instructors there from India. I mean, are there any slots for instructors who actually work in America, Americans that would like to work as faculty at Stratford University?
Well, that's the good news. We're growing so fast. I do have several openings for instructors with earned doctorates.
Very good. And what earned doctorates in what subjects?
Software engineering, computer science, information technology, and those fields.
Oh, very good.
Communications, some experience maybe with wireless, with VoIP, with digital comm, and that sort of thing.
Let's talk about sort of the technology development. Is the Indian government really a major factor in the rise of technology in India?
Well, I really haven't gotten too much into the politics here. Mm-hmm. I've just been trying to go a little native and figure out, how everybody's doing. But I think the government is very supportive of development. I've been following the stock market a little bit while I've been over here, and they're doing well.
Ah, that's good. I know Microsoft and a lot of our IT companies actually have, they recruit over there. They've actually set up branch offices in India.
That's right. IBM. I sat next to a fellow on the plane that worked at IBM.
Interesting. I mean, are the salaries lower there? Are they comparable to the U.S. in technology, or what's how does that?
I did discuss that with some individuals, and the salaries, while low years ago, are coming up quite fast.
I see. That's why China is out to steal India's lunch with outsourcing.
And that is right. Dr. Jim Flaggart here on the Best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. 820 AM, 107.7 FM, and 103.5 FM HD2. The doc was calling from India in the previous show, and that's where our doc, Dr. Schertz, is right now. He'll be back next week, and we'll be back in just a moment with more here on the Best of Tech Talk.
Technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Morning. Welcome back to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. Jim Russ sitting in for Dr. Schertz. And no, this is not the David Letterman countdown. This is the Dr. Schertz countdown of things that drive IT departments crazy.
Number six on the list is Instant Messenger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is Yahoo Messenger, Windows Live Messenger, AOL Instant Messenger, Skype, my lovely Skype, and Google Talk. 20% of business users are now running IM systems at work. Here's the thing. Most of the IM clients send data unencrypted. So if you're talking to somebody and sending them data over an IM client, it's unencrypted. It could be intercepted if it's got some, company secrets in it. There's also another problem. Most of the IM clients support direct file transfer.
Yeah.
That means that you can have files that come into the corporate network that have not been scanned by antivirus software, and that is a huge IT headache.
And it's a huge problem. We had a problem here at the older radio station that's no longer with us in this building, where before we had our tremendous super firewall installed, we had people on those IM, especially AOL and Yahoo, mm-hmm. and we were constantly getting viruses downloaded onto our system from that.
Now the number five headache for IT departments are personal smartphones. You see, these are like BlackBerries, Palm Trios, window-based phones. It used to be that companies would issue Palms or BlackBerries to like the executives. They were very expensive, mm-hmm. and they would tightly integrate those into the email system, corporate email system. And they would keep them under their control. Well, now the smartphones have gotten cheap enough. You can get them for as low as $200.
So every dummy has one.
People are buying their own smartphones. And then what they're doing...
They're not so smart.
Oh, I get it. Because smart, dumb, I get it.
Yeah.
So now what's
if I buy this phone, do I get smarter?
Folks, I'm trying to raise the level of this group. You know, just bear with me. Just bear with me.
It's a continuing effort, isn't it?
Just bear with me. It is. Okay, now, so what happens is people can now forward the email to their personal smartphone, which means they can, you know, avoid all kinds of corporate controls, if you will.
Right.
And that's creating a headache for the IT departments. Number four on the headache list are peer-to-peer programs like BitTorrent. These are the programs that have gotten infamous for downloading MP3 files and movies and all sorts of improper multimedia files, you know, that really shouldn't be distributed.
Naughty stuff.
Yeah, but it turns out, you see, that people and companies have trouble transferring big files. Like suppose you wanted
We do that all the time with sending email or audio back and forth to each other.
Yeah, we constantly have problems with that.
Yeah, because,
as you well know, Dr. Schertz.
That's right. See, the thing is, like, if you take the, you know, we want to upload the MP3 file for the show, if you take the full... You know, the full sampled version is 54 megabytes. It's very hard to find any mail client that will take that.
Yeah.
It's like running a pork chop down your kitchen sink. It just doesn't fit, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so what people have found is that
that was a very down-homey metaphor.
Thank you very much.
So they have found that they can use these peer-to-peer clients to actually very conveniently transfer these files from one client to another. I'm doing my best, folks.
It's not good enough.
Bear with me. The number three headache for the IT departments are webmail with gigabytes of storage. This would be like Gmail, Yahoo Mail, Hotmail, because now because they can't transfer large files with their corporate email system, they transfer the large files with Gmail,
mm-hmm.
which is what we do. And, of course, these web-based systems are not as secure as the company servers, and so now we're seeing large attachments, large files.
Lots of porn.
Oh, yeah. Well, not associated with the Tech Talk.
Not associated with
the Tech Talk
MP3. But other IT departments.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Yes, other IT departments.
Are seeing this problem.
And these systems are less secure than the corporate mail server, so when they try to... So they're trying to clamp down on the attachments to save space in the corporate servers, and people just go elsewhere, and they've got less security. The number two headache for IT departments are rogue wireless access points. People have realized, you know, for $100 you can buy a wireless access point, and they roam around at home with their laptop. So why not just take a wireless access device, plug it into your network connection at work, take your laptop work and just walk around the office, and you've got your own wireless connection.
Well, I know somebody who has this tennis ball can thing. He hangs out his car window and drives around looking for stuff like
that's
that.
That's right.
You know?
Who is that?
I don't know who that would be. He might not be in this room.
In fact, I think there could be some rogue networks that we've picked up now and again.
Quite possibly. Yeah. Maybe in this building.
It's possible. And so that is a huge, because now people, if they can get into that wireless network, because the people didn't secure it properly, they're behind the firewall, so people could be sitting out in their parked car right outside behind the firewall just doing whatever they want to do.
Behind the firewall, bad thing.
It is behind it's a very bad thing.
Yeah.
Here is the number one headache for IT departments, USB flash drives. Talk about a security nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
For $40, you can get a 4 gigabyte USB drive. You can walk out with the entire 20 volumes of corporate policy.
Payroll, the
everything.
Budget.
And so it has been a huge, huge problem.
Personnel records.
That's right. And so it is. And the problem is you can, I mean, people just may want to take these files home to work on them. I mean, that might be for perfectly innocent reasons. They can't mail them home. They can't get in through the firewall. So they take home all this critical data. But of course, it's unencrypted. So they go to McDonald's.
And
they,
somebody busts into the car.
No, or they buy a hamburger and they leave their USB drive sitting on the table.
Yep.
Somebody picks it up. They've got all the personnel records
and all the Social Security numbers.
So these are it's portable, it's unencrypted, it's dangerously unsecure. That is a huge, huge problem.
And finally, after all those problems, how about a glass of wine here on the Best of Tech Talk?
We're going to talk about the tongue. You know, this is where the receptors for taste are located.
Mm-hmm.
These receptors are called taste buds.
I'm sorry, that's not quite it. The glass of wine will be delayed, and here it is right now.
Paid for it, and I'm gonna
drink it all.
I'm gonna suffer through it. Now, wine can oxidize in as little as 2 to 8 hours, and the oxidation depends on the type of wine, how quickly it will oxidize once you open the bottle. Now, there are various ways to keep wine preserved. Primarily, these all revolve around trying to keep it away from oxygen.
Uh-huh.
That's the key. Now, the cheapest way to do it, I've never done this, but, you know, some people might do it, is that you drink half a bottle of wine, and then if you cork it, then you've got air in the top half of the bottle.
Yeah.
So some people simply have a half bottle of wine, and they pour the wine into a smaller bottle so there's no air at the top.
That's
and then they cork
idea.
That. So they rebottle it. So they have various size bottles, and they just rebottle the wine in a smaller bottle. And you just keep those bottles around. I really have never done that, but I suppose you could do that. Now, other people have, this is an idea that I don't know if I'd do this. They just drop marbles in the wine and they bring the level up to the top of the bottle.
First of all, let's make sure the marbles are clean.
You want to make sure the marbles are, and the problem is then when you pour out your wine, a marble may fall into the wine glass. I'm thinking this is more like a kid's way to do
that
it.
That sounds like a kid's way of messing up a good evening is what it sounds like.
But you see, you know, I'm sorry, have you lost your marbles? I mean,
In your wine glass. Well, here's what I can see the marbles doing. The marbles then, because they're heavier, go to the neck, and then you can't get any wine out of them.
I know. So, but I'm giving all the options.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Kind of, it's a trade-off here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also, for $10, you could buy a spray of an inert gas.
Mm-hmm.
It could be argon, it could be nitrogen. And this spray has a little tube in it. And so what you do is, after you use the bottle of wine, you just spray a little bit of gas in the bottle and then cork it. And now the spray, or the argon gas, is heavier than air, so it settles on top of the wine, and it isolates it from the oxygen.
Forms a protective barrier between the wine, and that's pretty neat.
That's right. Now, this will extend the life of a bottle of wine for up to a week.
Wow.
Now, my problem, Jim, wine never lasts in my house a week.
I've noticed that.
See, I mean, I
see that when I get the outline for the show, and there's typos.
I don't really need that. I don't really need to keep a bottle of wine around for a week. But for those of you that, if you drink, say, one glass, and there are 4.5 glasses in a bottle of wine, so I mm-hmm. guess if you'd have one glass a day, it could last 4.5 days.
Okay.
But if you have 2 glasses of wine a day, it's only going to last 2 days.
Okay, we need to ask the Surgeon General whether or not that's a good idea.
If you have 4.5 glasses of wine a day, it lasts one day.
You need to make a phone call.
So there's the deal. Now there's also the vacuum pump.
Right.
And I've also got the vacuum pump at home, too. I've got the vacuum. I've never tried the marbles, or I've never tried the rebottling.
I think
that's right. The vacuum pump seems to work the best. This is the Best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. Out of time for this week. We'll see you next week here on Federal News Radio.
If it's technology.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning, and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special educational topics of interest to you, as well as special